Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we read the pages of Scripture, there are certain individuals, certain names that kind of stick with us, and usually those are like one-name names. Let me just go through a few of them with you as I start the sermon today. We can identify in part, I believe, with these people. Let's go to Abraham. 2,000 years before the time of Jesus. Abraham, it seems from what Scripture says, kind of out of the blue, is called by God to leave his family, his land, to leave everything and go to the land that I will show you. And Abraham does. In faith, he believes and he does. He leaves. And he becomes the father of the nation of Israel. And I might add, the father of Islam. About 500 years later, there was a man by the name of Job. We know Job, don't we? Scripture says he was a righteous man. A righteous man, and yet so many difficult things came his way. He lost everything. Sat under a tree and he pouted. Job. Sometimes we can relate to Job because life has kind of fallen in on us at times. And yet God is there to help us and to pick us up. Think about Jonah. We know about Jonah. Jonah was called by God as a prophet to go to Nineveh and to prophesy there among the people. But Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. They were enemies. And Jonah says, no, I'm not going. And he got on a boat and he was going to escape. And a great storm came up. And those on the boat decided that it was because of Jonah that the storm was coming. And the only way to quell the storm was to throw this man overboard, and they did. He was swallowed by a great fish, the scripture says, and then he was spit up on land. And God comes to him and says, Jonah, are you ready to go now? And Jonah went. The hound of heaven didn't let it go. Peter. We know Peter, great rugged fisherman, rugged guy. One who spoke and confessed so eloquently Jesus as his Lord, the Messiah, but then caved in at the end. But yet Peter was a great disciple, despite his failings and despite all that we read about. And that brings us to today's man, gospel, and that is Thomas. So if I'm going to say to you, Thomas, the what? Yeah. The doubter. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that we have pigeonholed Thomas in that way? Thomas, the doubter. It's always a mystery to me why we do that, if we indeed know more about Thomas, which I'll try to tell you about a little bit today. Thomas, the doubter, we call him. Just like us. He's like us. We are all doubting Thomases. With such a text as we have today, you undoubtedly may be expecting to hear a sermon on doubt by a man of faith. But instead, you're going to hear a sermon on faith by a man of doubt. The preacher and the person in the pew are cut from the same cloth. The very same cloth. And have the same doubts and the same struggles. I'll not forget the day a young man came into my office. 16, 17. He and his family, members of the church, there every Sunday. Young man in tears. Pastor, I don't know what's happening. I don't think I believe anymore. I don't believe there's a God. He was in tears, but this young man has lots of company, doesn't he? There are lots of us that go through those times in our life when something happens, series of incidents may happen, and we question, we doubt, perhaps even the existence of God. That's us. We're like Thomas in more ways than we'd want to admit. But I hope we're like Thomas in some of the great ways. Pascal, the great scientist and theologian of the 17th century, talked about faith as a cosmic card game. Faith, a cosmic card game. The stakes are high, he said. The risks are great, the outcome is uncertain, but the game is absolutely necessary. Faith. Call it a game. I'm not sure it's a game. But the idea is there. It's absolutely necessary for us in our Christian life. Martin Luther said, "The Christian faith is the utter submission to God's grace, which is purchased for us and granted to us through the atoning work of Jesus Christ." That's what we just remembered on that Good Friday. And that's what we celebrated the reversal of on Easter Sunday and continue to celebrate today. Faith. A great theologian, Søren Kierkegaard, in the early 1800s, talked about faith as a leap, the leap of faith, he called it. It's not some kind of an intellectual process where we gather all kinds of facts from the scripture, put it into a computer, and out comes something called faith. No, there is a leap of faith, said Kierkegaard. We leap not knowing where that leap is going to take us. But leap we must. To illustrate, a home was on fire. The family stood outside. One child was missing. The fire was so intense, father was unable to go in and retrieve the one child, 5-year-old son. But he heard the voice of the son up in the upstairs bedroom, and he went over and he said, "Jump!" And the little boy says, "I can't see you." And the father says, "Just jump. I will catch you. Even though you can't see me, I can see you." The little boy jumped into the arms of his father. He took a leap of faith, even though he couldn't see where he was going to be going. And the father caught him. That's what Søren Kierkegaard was talking about in our Christian life, to take that leap. Even though we don't know exactly where it's going to land. Dan, you may remember a book back in your seminary days. I do. Pierre Burton wrote a wonderful little book called The Comfortable Pew. And in that book, he talks about the church becoming a refuge for the comfortable. Instead of a launching pad for the faithful. The church has become, says Pierre Burton in his book, the comfortable pew, simply maintaining a religious establishment. Is that us? Are we simply very comfortable in being worshipers at Ephraim Moravian Church? Love the people. Love everything about this place, the history and all. Has to become a comfortable pew instead of a launching pad. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's faith. That's what Thomas was seeking. And that is indeed what he found. He put his hand in the side, and the nail prints in his hands. He said, "My Lord and my God." Faith. I want to tell you about the parable of the pump. When Naomi and I were in California on internship, we had a custodian by the name of John. John and his wife, Prudence. John walked a lot, and one day he was walking from a small town to another one, and he went through the desert. Became very disoriented. Got lost on the desert. And to the day when I remember vividly, he couldn't go by a drinking pump without taking a sip of water. The story of the parable of the pump is like a man like that who, in the desert, he was disoriented. He was about to die of thirst. Came upon an oasis. It wasn't one of those oases where there was this lovely pond and all of that, but there was a pump. And there was a housing. And inside the housing was a glass of water. And a note. And the note said that there was leather, a leather gasket in the pump, which must be saturated with water. And the jar had just enough water for that purpose. There was a warning to the finder. Don't drink any of the water, not even a sip, because you need it all to prime that pump. If you followed the instructions, the pump would work and get all the water that he needed. But be sure to replace that jar of water and the note for whoever comes next. It took faith to pour that jar of water on that pump and not drink it, in the hope that there would be more water to come, rather than to simply take that drink that he so desperately needed. Faith flies in the face of rational thought at times. And to act and to do what is right, prime that pump. Let me just close by simply saying, Thomas had a couple of virtues that I think we need to emulate. First of all, he refused to say he believed when he did not. He refused to simply sit comfortably when there were answers to be found. When the doubts surfaced, he worked through them until he found the answers. He did not rattle off a creed until he knew and understood what it was about. Thomas had to be sure. And secondly, when Thomas was sure, he gave it his all. Thomas' answer was to put in his finger in Jesus, with holes in his body and hands and side, "My Lord and my God." And from there, Thomas went on to some great, great missionary work. Thomas is believed to have been the founder of the Christian community in India. Still a strong community of Christians in India today, even though we don't hear about them much. Thomas, the patron saint of India, from that doubter to that man of faith, to that creator of a Christian community. I hope somehow we can emulate Thomas, work through those doubts that we may have to a greater faith in our Christian life.